viable alternatives, this court hereby orders that Roy S. Moore be removed from his position of Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama.
That's Presiding Judge William Thompson. He speaks for the nine-member court who found that Judge Roy Moore should be removed from office because he violated, or actually, in their words, willingly and publicly ignored a federal court order. The Chief Justice, he said, placed himself above the law. We'll be hearing a little bit more in this last hour of Issues, Etc., from Judge Roy Moore himself, his reaction. He's reacting all over the place. Reaction to being removed from the Alabama Supreme Court as its Chief Justice after he simply refused to obey a federal court order to remove a monument from the rotunda of the Alabama State House. He says it's all about, well, now he says it's all about acknowledging God, and if he can't have the monument in the courthouse, then he can't acknowledge God, and therefore the what he's saying is, and we'll hear more from him in just a minute, he's saying that he simply has to have that monument there, otherwise he can't do his job. And so to do his job, he had to have the monument there, and to take the monument out, he had to oppose it because that would make it impossible for him to be Chief Justice. Well, not only was the monument removed, he was removed today. I'd like your reaction to these events. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. for the remaining 40 minutes of the program, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. As usual, Open Lines is always about anything you'd like to talk about. This is but one thing we'll be talking about. If time permits in the course of the hour, we'll also be hearing a little bit from the American bishops of the Roman Catholic Church. They've been meeting. They've decided a few things. They've decided a few things about marriage. Actually, they've just reiterated what it is they want to emphasize about marriage and about celibacy. They say it's really not up for discussion, but it would be a good way for the church to continue its witness in a society where celibacy is considered to be, what, a physical impossibility? We'll hear from them a little bit later. I'd like to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. First to the biggest story this afternoon, Judge Roy Moore is removed. His reaction, well, he says he simply must acknowledge God.
Without an acknowledgement of God, I cannot do my duties. I must acknowledge God. It says so in the Constitution of Alabama. Yes. It says so in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. It says so in everything I've read.
So in order to do his duty, let's just let the argument build here for a moment. In order for him to do his duty, he must acknowledge God. Now, already, if you've been following the case, you might note that he's been acknowledging God quite a bit in the course of this long-running case. When he says acknowledging God, at least to my ears, he is apparently talking about keeping the monument in the rotunda of the Alabama courthouse. That's acknowledging God. Judge Moore also explains that, well, in his opinion, this is what the battle's about.
It's about whether or not we can acknowledge God as a source of our law and our liberty. That's all I've done. I've been found guilty of that very thing. I've been found guilty by a code of ethics that is established on the acknowledgement of God as its source.
Now, I ask you this. He's been removed from the Alabama Supreme Court. Has he been found guilty of acknowledging God and doing his duty? Or has he been found guilty, as Judge Thompson announced today, of willfully and publicly ignoring a federal court order? And then they went on to say that he also refused to uphold the integrity and the independence of the judiciary in Alabama. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Judge Moore talks about the philosophical differences on this issue.
I have no animosity toward anyone on the court. There is a basic philosophical difference in this country of what law is. Law is not an order of court.
That's right.
And we've got to get that straight. If we follow the rule of man and not the rule of law, we're disregarding everything we're sworn to uphold.
So if the law is not an order of the court, let's just stay with his logic for a moment. Why is he planning on challenging this? Why has he attempted to challenge this in the Supreme Court? Do you remember the Supreme Court refused to hear his case? Why did he seek the Supreme Court's opinion on this if the law is not a decision of the court? It puzzles me a little bit. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In answer to the question, was the code of ethics under which he was tried in the last 2 days fair? Here's Judge Moore's answer.
We knew that there was something up in this trial when all our motions were denied, when it was held excluding the media from the viewing of the area. We knew that they did not want anyone to know what was going on inside the building, and I was not really surprised with this verdict.
Well, you know, I've got a simple solution for Judge Moore. If he believes that in order to do his duty, he has to have the monument in the rotunda of the courthouse, and that the federal judge had no authority to bar him from keeping the monument there, that he didn't do anything wrong when he violated that court order, and that the ethics committee, the other 9 members of the court there, when they said you should be removed, if that was unfair and, in his words, a little deceptive, done in secret, then his duty is clear, as far as I'm concerned. If he must obey God rather than men in this case, his duty is clear. He needs to go back to the Supreme Court of Alabama and sit down in the Chief Justice's chair. If he couldn't obey the federal court order, he certainly cannot obey what he considers to be an unfair ethical hearing that found him guilty of violating that court order and therefore removed him from... It can't be. He's got to go back and sit in the Chief Justice's chair, and while he's at it, he should bring the monument back. Judge Moore says that this really is a state's rights issue.
The Alabama Constitution says our justice system is established on God. That's the rule of law. When a federal judge comes in, unelected and appointed for life, and says the state of Alabama cannot acknowledge God, we have a serious problem.
Again, I'm a little confused because he had a problem with an unelected, appointed for life judge telling him he had to remove the monument, but he didn't have a problem appealing it to unelected, appointed for life judges on the Supreme Court of the United States. Go figure. He's also encouraging other states to follow his lead.
I'll leave it to the rest of the states of this union to stand up for their constitutions and their right to acknowledge God, and unless we do, the acknowledgement, public acknowledgement of God will be taken from us.
So what will Judge Roy Moore do next?
I will be discussing with my attorneys what course to pursue in this action. I have consulted with many state political and religious leaders, and I'll be making an announcement next week which could alter the course of this country and the course of our state and our nation.
Wow. I mean, that's a big promise. Next week, we may have the course of our nation altered. You think he might join the Democratic ticket for president? There's still room. A couple guys have dropped out. I doubt that. You never know. Now, I've been saying all along, when he earlier, a couple weeks ago, said, I'm not sure if I'm going to run for office after this is all over. Well, I put myself on the line and I said, yeah, he is. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't, who has political aspirations? Who obviously holds his convictions as deeply as Judge Roy Moore does? Who wouldn't? He's got a political machine in place. He's got support. He's got the notoriety. He's got the media watching him. He's got the news carrying his comments every hour on the hour. Finally, Judge Moore answered the question, and this is really the most important question, I guess, to me as a Christian, when someone violates the law, be it the law of the courts or the Ten Commandments. He answered the question of whether or not he's repentant.
It has been said today that I am guilty because I will do it again, that I am unrepentant. But the real question is what it is, and I am unrepentant of what? What is it that I will do again?
Well, let me see if I can spell it out very clearly. The 9-panel judge, group of judges, said very clearly that he was being removed from office for willfully and publicly ignoring a federal court order and for refusing to protect the integrity and the independence of the judiciary. That's the it. They said he was guilty. He's been removed. On the issue of repentance, he doesn't seem to have answered the question. I'd like your thoughts on this issue, on the removal of Judge Roy Moore from the Supreme Court of Alabama. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2777. to 7. Up first, Herman is calling from his car. Herman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Yeah, I wonder if this guy isn't simply kind of kooky. It seems to me, in his rhetoric, he has no appreciation for any kind of two kingdoms doctrine, which Lutheranism acknowledges and understands. And so he's really trying to rule his court based upon the Word of God, not upon law, and the points where that law agrees with the fundamental law of the Bible. But Christian judges don't, in our constitutional government, rule based upon the Bible. They rule based upon natural law. And that natural law is certainly reflected in the Ten Commandments. But you don't, he's not going to rule about remembering the Sabbath day, for instance. So I think the guy's really kind of kooky.
Herman, thank you for the observation there. I personally, I'm a little confused because he seems to kind of want to pick and choose which laws he obeys. He won't obey the federal court order that says remove the monument. He will obey the Supreme Court if they agree to hear his case and rule in favor of him. He thinks that the Ethics Committee was unfair in ruling that he's guilty of something. He seems to play ignorant as to what he's guilty of, even though he was very public in saying, I'm not going to obey the federal court order. So he wants to play fast and loose with what laws of men he will obey. He seems to also want to play fast and loose with what laws of God he will obey. He's got no problem with the Ten Commandments, except I would say maybe the fourth, honor your father and mother, which extends to all authorities, including governments. Romans 13 seems to come to play here. And he has equated, this is probably the most irksome thing about this, he has equated the erection of a monument in a courthouse with the acknowledgement of God. If I can't have my monument, you're refusing to allow me to acknowledge God. They're stifling my ability to acknowledge God. He's got cameras and microphones in his face all day long. There's your opportunity, Judge Moore. Acknowledge God. Might help if you tell us what God he's talking about. I think he means the Christian God. I think he does. What about the rest of you? Maybe you disagree with Herman. He says, this just seems a little fishy. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you're a car phone caller, a first-time caller, or calling as a listener on the Internet, will give you top priority. Miles is on the line calling from his car. Miles, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. I don't think we're giving him the benefit of the doubt unless there's absolutely no doubt that he's absolutely a hypocrite and a demagogue, because the statement that the judges aren't, that the court isn't the law, that's clearly what he means is, if we interpret him in a positive light, that when the court goes outside of the law, it's unlawful. Okay? That's extremely clear.
Who went outside the law? I mean, the one who's been found guilty of refusing to obey the court order.
Also, about the fourth commandment. Yes, you should honor your father and mother unless they tell you to do something ungodly. So I'm not sure you're giving him the benefit of the doubt unless I miss something by not saying it's clear that his belief is he's been commanded to do something ungodly.
Miles, thank you for the call.
Can I go a little bit further?
Sure.
To what do we reference when we think of law? What are we referencing historically, unless we believe that civilizations existed for thousands of years before God revealed his word, first simply verbally and then written? What could the law possibly be other than the law that we acknowledge in the Holy Scriptures? And unfortunately, that seems to run afoul of our, barely more than 200-year-old political system in this country. And I'm not advocating a theocracy. I'm saying that this is not a simple problem, that we truly have no other notion of law, not only no better, but no notion at all other than God's law. And he connects the dots by saying that it is written in Alabama that their law is based on God's law.
Okay, then let me just ask you this before I let you go, Miles. Oh, he's already gone. All right, now, what I have a hard time seeing is how saying, okay, there is no other law than God's law, and then that means, but I'm not advocating a theocracy. There are laws of men. I mean, they do exist. And no one is arguing that they're not based in the law of God. I would argue even further. I would say, along with St. Paul, that whatever laws exist, all laws that do not violate God's law, exist primarily and only, well, actually only because God has written his law in the hearts of all men. And human laws are mere reflections of those things. What Judge Roy Moore seems to be wanting to do is pit the law written in the heart against the laws of men as he sees fit. Well, that's not a God law, so I'm going to disobey it. But as I said before, what's more irksome is he seems to be directly equating the erection of a particular monument in a particular building with the acknowledging of God. And he's saying, if I can't have that monument, then you are refusing to let me acknowledge God. I don't see where the dots are connected there. Now, if he's got a clear word of God that says, put up a monument in your judicial buildings, you will not get an argument from me. But he doesn't. Therefore, it's hard for me to understand how it would be wrong for him to take it down if God doesn't command him to put it up. And certainly, aren't there other ways to acknowledge God? Calling from his car, Jim is on the line. Jim, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to say I think it's fantastic that somebody speaks up and stands up for God instead of all the right that godly people have had taken away from them.
What are those?
Well, you can't pray in school. You can't do this. You can't do that. I mean, those are just simple facts, not...
But you can pray in school. You just, it's not a teacher-led prayer. You can pray.
Well, you cannot do it openly.
No, you can pray openly in school. You just can't require prayer led by a teacher.
Well, I simply think it's fantastic that somebody's taking a stand for God.
I mean, All right.
I just wanted to express another opinion.
Jim, thank you very much. I welcome that opinion. But apparently he isn't. Apparently he isn't taking a stand for God because he's not allowed to put his monument up. So we really can't commend. He wants to. He desperately wants to acknowledge God. But the courts are not allowing him to. So we can commend him for wanting to stand up for God, but we can't commend him for doing it because he himself has said, the monument equals acknowledging God, period. If you can't let me have my monument, you're not letting me acknowledge God. Therefore, no monument, no acknowledgement of God. I'd like to see some people acknowledge God, too. I'd like to see a little bit more genuine acknowledgement of God from the Christian pulpit. Judge Roy Moore is a poor substitute. Michael's calling from Pittsburgh. Michael, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. You actually made the point earlier that I was going to make, but another question is, how is putting the commandments up an acknowledgement of God? Because multiple religions do subscribe to it, even though the Jews would say that it's theirs, the Muslims would say it's theirs, even though it is from our God, the true Christian God. How would it, is it acknowledging our true God?
I don't know if, and I do not know what Judge Roy Moore would say to that, Michael, whether or not he would make any distinction there. He seems to be satisfied just to have God acknowledged. As to which God, whose God, the Muslims love the Ten Commandments. I don't think he means Allah, though. I really don't. Now, let me make it very clear. Whether or not the monument is in the courthouse, as far as I'm concerned, is really neither here nor there. You can have them there. there are courthouses that have them. If it's simply saying, look, the foundation of human law is that law that was eventually specifically written by our Creator and revealed to His people in the Old Testament, and it has become part of the fabric of human civilization because God revealed it, also because God has written it in the hearts of every human being. And so we acknowledge the ultimate source of moral authority. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But that's something very different from saying, if you won't let me have my monument, you're refusing to let me acknowledge God. Now, there's another issue here, and that has to do with the commandments themselves. And this is one I've only heard a couple people talk about. And then in kind of such a ham-fisted way that it didn't really further the conversation at all. Those first three commandments, or four, depending on how you want to count them, those first three commandments, the way I count them. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. At least in this country, the first one has never been put into law. It's in pledges, it's in, at least in a generic way, in pledges, in our patriotic songs. There's a print on our money, but there's no law that says you must acknowledge this God. Really, there's no law that says you must acknowledge a God. That would probably fundamentally violate the First Amendment protections of the practice of religion and the prohibition against the establishment of a religion. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say there was a lawmaker who said, I want to make a law, okay? I want to have a constitutional amendment that acknowledges God, a constitutional amendment, so that it becomes binding upon every citizen in the United States to acknowledge a God, period. We won't define who that God is, because, of course, we can't. It would be legally impossible to get through all the – everyone's going to come up with a different definition. So we won't do that. We're just going to say it is legally binding to acknowledge a God, period. You know, the minute you read the first, second, and third commandments, you're talking about a specific God. If you actually go back and look at the context of the words, unless you're willing to just pull the Ten Commandments completely out of their context and say that they apply to no God in particular. If you look at the context, it starts with, I am Yahweh, your God. He even names himself, the one who brought you out of Egypt. He sets himself in particular history. He's pretty specific about who he is. I am God. There is no other. It's me I'm talking about, not these others. My name, don't misuse it, and remember the Sabbath day. A little bit more on that on the other side of the break.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
Man with Dinosaurs. Were the Flintstones right?
Answers with Ken Ham.
author of the wonderful children's book, D is for Dinosaur. Well, you know, the Flintstones TV program, Ken, has dinosaurs and people living at the same time. So what do the evolutionists think about that?
Well, many don't like it at all. Evolutionists absolutely insist that dinosaurs and people did not live at the same time. Yet here's this popular cartoon going around the world, and it has dinosaurs and people living together. It really goes against everything that evolutionists indoctrinate us in about dinosaurs. You see, evolutionists believe that dinosaurs died out about 65 to 70 million years ago, and that no dinosaur lived at the same time as man. It's a key part of evolutionary theory. But you know what? I believe there's a lot of evidence all around the world that really does connect man with dinosaurs. For example, there are cave paintings done by Native American Indians that show figures that closely resemble dinosaurs. Also, dragon legends from around the world, and many of the dragon descriptions fit with dinosaurs. And then there's a record of dragons in the Bible. Did man live with the dinosaurs? Yes, he did. God created all the land animals, including dinosaurs, alongside Adam and Eve.
For more answers to your questions about dinosaurs, read Ken Ham's fascinating booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? It's free when you go to our attractive website, AnswersRadio.com. You'll be surprised to learn that the Bible can teach us a lot about dinosaurs.
Underwriting on AM 850 KFUO provided by Reliable Heating and Cooling. Christian people who understand the value of bringing you God's Word on the radio. The folks at Reliable also know how important it is to have your furnace checked before winter. An inefficient or deteriorating heat exchanger costs you needless expense and could be dangerous. A preseason inspection from Reliable is convenient, affordable, and gives you peace of mind. Reliable Heating and Cooling, supporting the broadcast ministry of AM 850 KFUO.
Here's a message from your St. Louis Science Center. Health Fest 2003 showcases the contributions of biotechnology in our daily lives. The event is open to the public, service providers, and industry professionals to see the advancements in biotechnology. Health Fest 2003 comes to the Science Center on November 29th from 9:30 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. Once again, that's November 29th. For more information on Health Fest 2003, contact your St. Louis Science Center. Hi, this is Chuck Rathert, host of the Bible Study here on AM 850 KFUO, inviting you to join us next time for our Ask the Pastor Bible Study open phone program, this time hosted by Paul Clayton, and his guest will be Pastor Joel Leyenbauer, who serves on the Commission on Theology and Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Bible Study, weekday mornings at 10:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., a two-hour discussion on a history of the Mormon Church with Rich Abanis of the Religious Information Center. Now, if you've got a friend who is a Mormon, if you are a Mormon, and you haven't heard this conversation, tune in tomorrow from 3 until 5, this conversation with Rich Abanis. He's written this book, One Nation Under Gods, A History of the Mormon Church. Very interesting stuff. You'll want to hear it tomorrow on Issues Etc. Now, 10 more minutes left in open lines, Issues Etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Speaking of, I was right in the middle of something, actually, when we went to the break, before I get to the speaking of, the distinction between those first three commandments and the latter commandments. The latter commandments that do form the basis for all civilization. They begin with, honor your father and mother. The acknowledgement that God has established temporal authorities among us. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not lie, in essence. Do not covet. Now, the last one is also a little troublesome if you think about it, because coveting is a sin committed in the heart, which the last time I checked, we can't legislate against what goes on in the heart. We can legislate against what goes on outside the heart in human intercourse, but we cannot legislate against what goes on in someone's mind or heart. But okay, say it's wrong to wickedly desire someone else's stuff. We'll just let that one go. The first three are still problematic because they're just too specific. They are the words of a very specific God. And you know what? When the Muslim hears the words, you shall have no other gods before me, you know who he thinks spoke those words? Allah. when he says, I won't take God's name in vain, he's not talking about Yahweh. He's talking about Allah. Now, we say this is really about, you know, the Ten Commandments are really important issue here. Then let's talk about the Ten Commandments. No one wants to get specific about these things. I want to talk about them as though what they say is irrelevant. And the God who spoke them is, you know, that's neither here nor there. Just as long as we acknowledge a God. Now, you may say, look, we need to acknowledge God as a nation, and we need to have monuments like this in courthouses because God will bless our nation if we acknowledge him. Okay, let's run with that for just a second. Will God bless our nation if we just acknowledge a God? Just any old God? I think Scripture has something to say about, you know, if it's not the true God, it's really got to be a false God. Are the Ten Commandments in the Alabama State Constitution? Because Judge Roy Moore has said that the monument with the Ten Commandments equals acknowledging God, at least in his case. You don't let me have my monument where I want it. You are refusing to let me acknowledge God. That is the direct connection he is making. And he says he's doing it based upon the fact that the Alabama State Constitution acknowledges God. Are the Ten Commandments in there? Are they in the U.S. Constitution? Before we go, a little update, something for you to think about, because it's certainly not the last we have heard from Judge Roy Moore. Before we go, the U.S. Roman Catholic bishops are meeting in Washington, D.C. yesterday. They drafted a statement on same-sex marriage. Now, Bishop Donald Troutman of Dallas outlines the statement. Let's hear from him.
We have a very clear statement. We have the teaching of Jesus, who reinforces what was taught in the Old Testament. We are saying that marriage is a natural institution and a sacred union because it's rooted in the divine plan for creation.
Now, this is good stuff. I'm always glad to hear when the bishops come out with these statements. And you must hand it to the Roman Catholics in this respect because they have such a comprehensive theology. They genuinely do. Maybe it's their longevity. Maybe it's the fact that they have a vast theological network. They have I call it a comprehensive theology. It embraces everything. They look out through at the world through theological lenses, and I think that's something to be commended. And they come straight to the point. They say the institution of marriage is worthy of preservation and defense because the institution of marriage is founded in creation. And I would even take it a step further and say the institution of marriage is part and parcel of God's continuing creative activity. We call it procreation. And I think you need look no farther than the account of the creation to find this. God conducts a little marriage ceremony there for Adam and Eve, and the words are even put in. A man will leave his father and mother, will cleave to his wife, and the two of them will become one flesh. So they have properly understood the context of marriage. Marriage just isn't a long-standing Western tradition. It isn't just a good thing that we came up with a long time ago, and boy, if we change it, what in the world are we in for? It's not something that we dreamt up. It's something that God literally built into the fabric of creation. For all of the species of animal and plants, he had simply this. They simply bring forth offspring according to their kind. That's it. That's it. For the plants, seed-bearing plants bring forth their offspring according to their kind, the seed in them. For animals, likewise. He does not institute marriage among the animals. They simply bring forth offspring according to their kind. So when the doe and the buck happen to meet in the woods and do their thing, and 9 months later, whatever the gestational period of a doe is, you've got fawns. But the buck goes off and finds another doe 5 minutes later. God does not consider this adultery. This is simply animals reproducing according to their kind. That's for the animals and the plants and all other living things. For man, in his act of creating them, he created them uniquely for one another from the woman, from the man. and brought them back together as one flesh in this thing we call marriage. It's commendable to hear the bishop speak this way about marriage. Maybe Christians ought to be speaking about this way. You know, we'd catch a lot of heat. We really would. But it's the right way to talk about it. Finally, Bishop Troutman says that the Roman Catholic Church does not follow cultural trends.
The church will always be a countercultural voice in our society, but we have the obligation to pass on our tradition, which is rooted in the scriptures and in the tradition of the church. The debate on recognition of same-sex union is how long, maybe a year-long debate. We're looking at the institution of marriage, which has existed, what, 3,000 years plus.
You know, that's good. This is so refreshing to hear this. To have the Catholic mind, which I know people think that I bash the Roman Catholics, but to have the Catholic mind turned upon these issues, generally speaking on issues like this, they always speak with this tremendous voice of reason. They say what is, at least on these moral issues, they say what Scripture clearly says. And notice the perspective that they can take because they've been around for 2,000 years. They can say, this debate over same-sex unions, it just started yesterday. Marriage has been around since the beginning. The same-sex unions issue, it's the newcomer. It's the new kid on the block. It's the innovation. And it's also refreshing to hear the largest confession of faith, the largest group of Christians in the world, at least through their meetings of bishops here in America, say the church is countercultural. It's not the servant of culture. It is countercultural. It always will be. We may have been able to live in the past in a culture that made us feel as though we in the culture were kissing cousins. No more. We don't have that luxury, at least at this time and this place. We no longer have it. While there are voices among us calling for the culture to lead the way and to bestow upon us its beautiful gift of relevance, at least the Roman Catholic bishops are saying, no, we don't follow cultural trends. The culture promises relevance every time. It says, give up this, compromise that, O church, and we will grant you relevance. You see it happening on Sunday mornings in churches all over the country. People who have heeded the call of culture to compromise this, give up that, look like us, be more like us, says the culture, and you'll be relevant. And as Os Guinness says so very carefully in his latest book, Prophetic Untimeliness, the church has never strived so hard to be relevant and been so irrelevant ever before. Tomorrow we'll talk more about the removal of Judge Roy Moore, and actually Sunday night we will. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.